whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, everybody, it's Tim Kawakami, 49ers Plus Minus, on a wrap-up show Monday after the end of a really quick season. Wasn't that bear? That season just flew by. That's 11 season. A blink and it was gone. One of the longer 49er seasons, I just think, for kind of a tediousness. We've known for a while they weren't going to make the playoffs. Obviously, great expectations. It's over now. But today was the locker cleanout and some very interesting comments, some interesting people who weren't there. But I went down there to see what Brock Purdy was going to sound like about his contract, what he was going to sound like about what the future, about his season. And I thought he was really good. It was really kind of like, you know, sometimes Brock, he's always personable, but he isn't expansive. And I thought today he was expansive. I thought he kind of wanted to give a sense that, you know, the tough times are maybe that, you know, they'll all bond from this and they'll gain something from a tough season like this. And maybe he will, too. And he addressed his contract. I'll go on into what I thought about it. I wrote a column on it. Just, Barros, you were there. What did you think of Purdy's kind of mood, the things that he said, and how he addressed the contract situation?
Well, it was all pragmatic, which is Brock Purdy. I thought it was in stark contrast with Brandon Ayuk's locker cleanout day press event last year, where he was tearful. He said he didn't know if he was going to be traded, didn't know what was going to happen. It forecast or foreshadowed the drama-filled negotiations that they had. And I thought Brock Purdy made it a point to say, I think he even said it, I don't want drama. Yeah. I'd rather this be over sooner rather than later. Of course, this is Brock Purdy talking. This isn't his agent. Things could absolutely get dicey with this, but it's clear that the client, and he kept mentioning phase one of OTAs. That's when the team first gets together as a team and they start practicing as a team. This is usually early spring, April, May. That seems like when Brock Purdy wants this done, so that when he comes back and there are, you know, 21 other starters on the field in those practices, it won't ever be 21, but point is that he wants to lead this team and he wants that not to be a distraction. So it would be the polar opposite of the Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams negotiations a year ago.
That is a great point. I wasn't there, I guess, for Ayuk, so it didn't strike me. I didn't put it in my column, but is it, you know, you would say it was theatrical from Ayuk last year, and it was a little
great word.
And it's hard to say that it was false emotions, but like what exactly was being communicated there, other than this was going to get dramatic, this was going to get a little bit emotional and weird. And Purdy is not that guy. He certainly did not communicate that today, nor would you expect him to. It's going to come down to dollars. It always does. Quarterbacks make a lot, but I think. He also said, and it struck me too, that you know, I'm their guy. And I don't think he would say that unless he knew that was the case, unless he's been told that's the case. And if he's been told that's the case, they're prepared to pay him a lot of money. Like they just the way the order of this is, he understands their commitment to him. He will make a commitment to them, and they'll come to a money terms, which is going to be more than $45 million a year, and it's going to be probably less than $60 million a year, and we can figure out what the medium of that is, and I'm guessing 50-51, with, you know, 2.5 to 3 of it totally guaranteed, you know, so $125 million guaranteed. He can get another bite of the apple. He's 25, as he mentioned. He just turned 25. In a couple years, when they could redo the deal, they could get out of it in a couple of years. It would cost them some cap hit, but not a crazy amount. It just makes sense. Pay him the market rate that you believe that he is. You believe he's a really good quarterback. He was a really good quarterback 2 years ago. He wasn't a terrible quarterback this year. He's 25. He's younger than most of the guys who are ahead of him on this ladder. He's only going to go up. And he's going to be practical. It'll be different if, you know, again, if the 49ers try to lowball him, bad on them. That's, you know, as I think if this thing gets past March, there could be some weird stuff going on. This thing could be done in February, Barrows. It really could. The Jimmy Garoppolo deal was done in February, you know, 5 years ago, whenever that was, 5 years ago. This thing could be done then. It's a quarterback. You want him in the sessions. You want to, like, go through the draft process knowing he's your guy, right? You want to go through the combine knowing he's your guy. Because what if he's not your guy, Barrows? You got to go get a quarterback, right, immediately by early March, you know, league year start. So everything points to this being done quickly. It could get screwed up. He could be walking in there and demand $62 million. I literally asked him, do you think you need to reset the market? And he didn't really say, but it does not sound like a person who needs to reset the market. I don't think the 49ers will reset the market for him. There's a number there. Beat Tua Tagovailoa, right? And become in a little less than Jared Goff. There, I just did it. It's not that hard. Do you see potential problems in this, Barrows, or just a chance of a problem?
I mean, I think that contract negotiations are inherently problematic. You're negotiating with somebody. You don't have the same number. So they always can be problematic. But everything you're saying, I agree with. Just the personality of the person, you know, the disposition of the team towards that player. I mean, all of the 49ers spoke today like Brock Purdy was going to get paid. I mean, Josh Dobbs had a nice game last night in Arizona. He was asked last week, would you want to be back with the 49ers? And it was clear that that's not anything that he's interested in. Because if he's back with the 49ers, it means that he's in a backup role. And he wants to see if he can compete for a starting role somewhere. And he doesn't believe that San Francisco is the place to do that. So all signs pointing to this deal getting done. And boy, if you're right on that February prediction, I would be so happy about that.
Happy Barrows.
We'll get done before the combine, and we'll celebrate at St. Elmo's.
I will not be there, but you can celebrate at St. Elmo's. I'll say February. I mean, maybe late February, which is the combine, maybe early February, which is the Garoppolo date. Maybe somewhere in there, somewhere. All-Star game. Well, I'm covering the NBA All-Star game at Chase Center. Going to have to drop it right there.
My birthday is February 24. If you want to get me a present that I will really appreciate, better than a tie, better than a belt, We'll all pitch in, Barrows.
Every the audience of 49ers plus minus can all kind of throw in a dollar. We have like millions of fans, so I mean, obviously, we can do this, and we'll just chip it into the kitty and say, what's the difference of this, and we'll just make up for it. The 49ers plus minus audience,
love that idea.
We'll be able to do it not as a present to the 49ers. Not as a present to Brock Purdy, as a present to Matt Barrows. Clearly the preeminent personality here. Anything else you got from Purdy? I did think, again, I mean, I don't think this was a guy looking to take $30 million a year. Like, he wasn't going to go super hometown. He's, you know, he mentioned the things that they've done, you know, the wins that he's racked up, how good they've been with him. You know, this is not a guy who's lacking confidence. He doesn't say it all the time, but you wouldn't want him to be meek and mild and, oh, I'll take anything. You don't want your quarterback to be like that. You want him to be the leader, as McCaffrey and Kittle and others have said, that he's become more and more lately, that he's really become a spokesman for the team in many ways. Not like Kittle, not like Warner. We can talk about the awards that they both won. Clear favorites to win the Eshmont and Walsh Awards, and they won it. But I think Purdy, because he's the quarterback, because he's young, right? He's young. He's part of this younger generation because he's so connected to Kyle Shanahan, because he touches the ball every play. It's just kind of the lifeblood of this team right now. And I think it will be acknowledged. It better be. The 49ers have squeezed guys in the past. Nick Bosa, Brandon Ayuk, others. It would not make sense for them to do it. For him not to be there for minicamp OTAs, that'd be crazy. So I do think there will be saner heads. We shall see. We don't know. But I definitely felt some confidence there, but not confidence like I'm going to make every dollar. Confidence that I'm a good quarterback and I'm going to get paid like it. And then I don't have to break the bank because I want other players on this team to get some of these dollars too.
Yeah, getting him done early would fall into this greater theme of, let's take advantage of this full offseason. This is a team that doesn't get full off seasons very often. This year we're going to take advantage of it. We're going to be healthier. We're going to rest up. That's basically what each of these guys talked about. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Fred Warner in various ways. Yeah, we're 6-11. That's terrible. But there's a way to take advantage of being 6-11. And that starts with this offseason. McCaffrey was interesting. He talked about he was close to being back to 100% after his PCL. Remember, he fell hard on the knee in Buffalo. He said it was just as he was kind of feeling like his 2023 self. I think he had something like 53 yards. This is early in the second quarter. He was on his way to a big 100-yard game, the first of the year for him. That's when he got hurt. So it was very disappointing for him. Big picture, he's going to be fine. He's already talking about OTAs. That was a big theme today. OTAs. When we get back together, this team is going to be healthy and ready for OTAs. One guy I don't see coming back, Charvarius Ward. A lot of times you can just watch the body language, what these guys are doing on locker clean out day. I remember Mike McGlinchey after the 2022 season. Remember, he had that corner locker. Yep. And he just stood there saying his goodbyes to everybody. He was the last guy to leave. He did not want to leave that day because he had made so many close friends, equipment, medical, reporters. Who doesn't fall in love with the reporters?
Nah, check out that one. Who knows on that one?
It was clear that he wasn't coming back. Charvarius Ward said he met with John Lynch this morning and said, and Lynch told him, hey, if the price is right, we'd love you back. Love to have you back. I don't know if the price is going to be right. And Charvarius Ward also talked about, he was talking about real trauma. He associates with being out here, related to the death of his daughter. He revealed today that even the pregnancy that just was resulted in the birth of his son, who's healthy, was touch and go at the beginning. And every time he went back to Texas and came back this way, he was apart from his family, and he described it as PTSD. Like, he would wake up in the middle of the night here in sweats. He would throw up. He's got a lot of negative associations with being out here. This did not sound like somebody who wanted to be out here for an extended period. He sounded like somebody who wants to sign with the Dallas Cowboys. That would be the best spot for him, since his girlfriend, the mother of his son, Charvarius Jr., is in the Dallas area. So I don't see him coming back. Did not see Trent Williams to kind of talk to him about his injury. He was seen sort of limping around the other day on Friday, still not recovered from whatever that left foot, heel, ankle injury is. And didn't see your guy, Jake Moody, either.
Yep.
He was not – he's been good about – talking to the media after misses, being a stand-up guy, was not there today to talk. I'm not putting that against him, but I don't know. It seems like a bit of foreshadowing as well.
Yeah, on that one, almost better off. Like, what's he going to say? You know, I don't know if he talked after the game yesterday, but he did not have a good year, and I think it's highly debatable whether he'll be back. We'll see what Shanahan Lynch have to say about that. That's another thing. Shanahan Lynch did not talk and not scheduled to talk. We know they will. I think it's a pretty clear sign they got this decision to make. Maybe not Moody right away. You don't have to make that one right away, but you probably have to make the defensive coordinator decision. And if Sorensen was absolutely definitely coming back, Nick Sorensen, the first-year defensive coordinator, Shanahan could have said it yesterday, but what did he do? He told you guys no questions on any of that. He doesn't want to say something and then have to come back and have a conference call after he fired Steve Wilks last year. I don't think they know. Or maybe they know today and they weren't ready to talk about it. Or maybe tomorrow. I don't know if he's going to need to have someone lined up for it. I don't know if he's just evaluating how it went. But they don't have an answer on that. I think that's the clear thing. And they still haven't scheduled that press conference. Maybe it's going to be Thursday. I don't know. But I would think it's getting shaky ground for Nick Sorensen if they're taking this long before saying anything about him. I don't think it's a done deal. I have said before, I think they're looking for reasons to keep him. They're leaning towards keeping it more so than maybe with Steve Wilks. But that Fred Warner, Nick Bosa backing isn't sounding as solid as before. It's sounding more a little like equivocal. Maybe Kyle Shanahan is checking to see who's available. Like, that would be smart. Or if Robert Saleh wants to come back, or if Jeff Ulbrich's ready to come, whatever. I do think it's an open question. Would you agree with me about that, Nick Sorensen's future right now?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think they want to know what their alternatives are before they make any moves. I mean, Ulbrich is theoretically up for the permanent job in New York. If you've seen the list of head coaching interviews, it's extensive. I would guess that he's not going to get it given, how the Jets performed after Saleh left. So I still think that that's the hire. If they're going to move Sorensen, it would be for Ulbrich. But to his credit, I think Shanahan is legitimately thinking about these things, and maybe he's thinking even more deeply. Do we go with Brian Flores' disciple? Do we change the defense around a little bit? It didn't work this year. Everything has been geared around Chris Kocurek since he arrived in 2019. And that's been priority number one. That's why they brought in Wilkes. Come on in, Steve Wilkes. The first thing you have to do is meet Chris Kocurek and make sure that your defense can work alongside what he does on the defensive line. That defensive line was bad this year.
Yeah.
Outside of Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd started to come on at the end, but I mean, they were just carving up the 49ers defense on the ground. Five of the last seven opponents had an individual rusher go over 100 yards. They had four games down the home stretch without any sacks. They had two takeaways after the bye. Two.
Yep.
One fumble recovery, one interception. They played the Bears in that stretch. So it wasn't like they were playing the Bills every week. Nick Sorensen, I think, has opened the door for, somebody to come in. There would be a good argument to make a change there. I think that's all being discussed right now. I don't know if any conclusions have been made. I think Ulbrich would still like to be out here. He's from the Bay Area. He's an ex-49er. He's chums with Shanahan. A lot of reasons why that would work.
Yeah, I don't know if they would come out and just announce it right away. It's a lot to do all at once. But yeah, he's going to probably want to know if it's Sorensen or I have a good line to get somebody. I will fire Sorensen and I will get somebody to replace him. And again, I don't think it's going to be Brandon Staley. So the other part, I saw Kocurek a lot in the locker room. By the way, I'm not saying anything. I saw Kocurek walking around in there a lot. I didn't see any other coaches. I just thought that was interesting. What's Kocurek isn't usually.
I don't know what he was doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a hat in his hand.
Yeah. There's a lot, they're signing jerseys for each other. A lot of things going on in there. I don't want to put anything to it. I just like this. You said it. And I just like, man, I saw Kocurek a lot in there today. Brian Griese got a request, a head coaching request. Was it Jets? Who was that? I don't remember.
Yeah. Another Jets request. Yeah.
Do you think that's a guy? I mean, he could get coordinator job. He's not the coordinator for an hour. He could get head coaching job. Do you think they could lose Griese?
Yeah, I think they could. I mean, Griese, Kubiak, and Brian Fleury would be the guys that I would at least want to talk to if I'm hiring an offensive coordinator. And a head coach, I don't know. I mean, Griese definitely has – he's got a very unique personality.
He sure does.
He does not suffer fools lightly. He's very direct. He's been in the media. He's been a quarterback. He's got some good background. He's got some good things on his resume. I wonder whether this is, sometimes these guys get interviewed 1 year and it's, the next year or the year after that, that they're actually hired. This might be that process for Griese. I don't know if being a quarterback coach is enough for him though. He's very intelligent. He's very direct. He's good at his job. I do think that he probably deserves a bigger role somewhere. And he knows that, like a lot of people, Mike McDaniels knows this, the LaFleurs know this, that when you're under Kyle Shanahan, you're not going to get a ton of responsibility. So Maybe he is looking for something bigger. I would think that OC would be the next step for him.
Or, you know, Falcon, make him OC. You know, this, with the way he made McDaniel OC. You're not calling the plays, but you get the title. You speak to the media. And I mean, that, maybe that's not a bonus for Greasy, speaking to the media every week.
But, as long as it's not Eric Branch, he'll be fine. Yeah,
but it would be good to have another voice up there. Like, the 49ers definitely have a shortage of guys they put up there. Well, they put Firster up there, but that's all offensive line and run game. Like, you could use a guy, another guy talking about the quarterback. And Greasy certainly could. He's got a, you know, obviously he's the guy that Purdy talks to on the sidelines. That's where you can see him on TV. Interesting. You know, those cranky former Michigan quarterbacks are never end up being good head coaches. The Bears,
no,
like, never.
They're just more commentators, apparently.
I've been surprised at how cranky Greasy can be, but that's sometimes good. That's like, it's an interesting personality type. I would be curious to see how that goes in the interview for coordinator or head coaching job, but good for him. And I know he's really talented. He's definitely very talented. Anything else? I know Ricky Pearsall talked at length. Anything from that? Any other interesting conversations you had?
I did. I want to save my Pearsall stuff for a story.
Okay.
So wow. I'm not willing to put it out on.
Yeah. Just stay tuned. Just stay tuned.
You say something on this podcast and it goes out.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Absolutely.
But
he was talkative. I know I saw Bosa was there. He held his big thing yesterday.
Yeah, he talked a lot last night. You know, a couple of guys talked a lot last night. Dominic Pooney talked a lot last night. I think for all the rookies, Malik Mustafa won basically the rookie award, the Thomas Herrien Award. That could have gone to any number of people. But Pearsall is part of this very promising rookie class, and I think they finished on a high note as well. Grendel got hurt. The early indication is that it's MCL and an ankle sprain, and that combination may make it a little bit more complicated, but bottom line, no ACL damage. So this shouldn't be something that bleeds into OTAs, for example. But, you know, I thought he acquitted himself well at the end. I mean, his receiving skills really showed up against the Lions. Some of these games, there just weren't any rushing lanes. I mean, it was a makeshift offensive line, and yet he was still, you know, at least falling forward after contact. He was a hard guy to bring down. I thought, you're looking for silver linings, the rookie class in general, and then some of these guys who sort of took some time to get going, like Pearsall, like Grendo. I thought there were some really good shines towards the end of the season. Even Jacob Cowing had two catches for 30 yards last night. And he finally got an end around that he turned into positive yardage. So for the rookie class, I think it finished very much on an up note.
If they could do that again, that would really, really help this team. Like they haven't done it in a while. You know, what, like 2019's the last time they got like multiple starters in a draft class. Really good ones, Bosa and Debo at the top of it. But if you get three starters, four starters from a draft class and then do it again, and that's what the Chiefs do, right? They've really balanced out that team by just hitting on two or three draft classes, which allows them to trade away Tyreek Hill when he becomes too expensive, which allows them to just kind of keep flooding the defense with new bodies. When they kind of hit the wall with that, this – draft helps Malik Mustafa, as you know, was one of my favorite guys on this team. I just thought he was if there's a player on this draft class, I think could make a Pro Bowl. You might say Pooney, and I might agree with you. I'm not 100% sure. I think it might be Mustafa. Because, you know, a safety with that kind of playmaking ability, those guys can kind of rise up fast. You get a year where you get five picks and two forced fumbles, then you're on a winning team, top five defense, if all those things happen. You get a lot of people talking about you, like Jordan Poyer. Like, you know, a safety, like you just kind of see these safeties kind of roll through the Pro Bowl. I think he's got high level talent. I really do. You know, Hufanga is, you know, another one, a safety, late round safety. All of a sudden, he's in the middle of plays, and I think Mustafa might be somebody like that. I would say him. Would you say him? Would you say Pooney? If any of those guys are going to make the Pro Bowl?
Well, the mere fact that we could have a debate about this just kind of shows you the strength of that rookie class. I mean, for me, with a safety making the Pro Bowl, you just have to have a lot of takeaways. And he didn't have that this year. He could have it. I mean, he's smart. He's probably one of the smartest guys on the team. You want that at two positions in particular, quarterback and safety. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that he's got that component. We've talked about this in the past. They didn't, for some reason, they decided not to reveal their gold star or their gold helmet status guys. But I think he probably did qualify. And that means that you have to be special upstairs too, just like Talanoa Hufanga was to get that. That's what you want at that position for sure. I mean, you can make an argument for Pooney. You can make an argument for Renardo Green. I mean, yep. We just talked about Charvarius Ward, probably leaving in free agency. I mean, Green's going to be the starter next year. Green's going to step into that role. And Green reminds the 49ers a lot of D'Amador Lenore. He's farther along as a rookie, much farther along than D'Amador Lenore was as a rookie. And, you know, that could be good and bad. Lenore had to keep fighting just to make the roster a couple of years, and all that fighting got him to where he is now. But they see similar qualities between those two guys.
No, man, those would be two big physical corners, man. No, they're physical guys. I think Green's a little bit bigger, right? Probably a little taller.
Yeah, a little taller.
They both tackle. They both are there on the ball. They both play run support. Charvarius Ward too, but less. Lenore was just kind of can sometimes be a missile on those, you know, holding the edge there as a cornerback. So that would be interesting. They still would need a third corner who I'm sure 49ers fans would hope it's not Isaac Yiada because he was not good this year. So we shall see. You know that you can get a third corner in free agency. That's not that difficult. They have gone that way in the past. So we shall see there. All right, we are waiting for the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan presser. Whenever that comes up, we'll have a show after that. Lots of issues there, lots of things to discuss. I'm sure the Nick Sorensen thing, you know, they've set it up now on a tee. If they do it today, they could kind of pass off this Nick Sorensen decision. By delaying this thing, we know they're going to have to, they've had discussions. We know there must be some conclusions made. So they've now set themselves up to talk about whether Nick Sorensen is for sure the defensive coordinator next year or if he's fired. That is set up. There is no way around that now. Good. I'm glad they do it like that. Barros will grill them. You will grill them. I know you will. So, all right. We had a slight technical difficulty in the middle of this, so I'm going to sign off now before we have anything else interrupt our wonderful conversation. We will be coming back to you maybe tomorrow evening, maybe Thursday. Well, this is going to be we record in the evening, they come out in the morning, so I get confused on the timing of this, but you know how that works. At some point, there will be another show this week, and then maybe next week, Barros, let's do a listener voice.
Yeah, call. Next week we got to talk about the...
You're throwing some book out there. The award-winning Barros novel.
Yes.
Am I allowed to purchase it? I'm still not allowed to purchase it, right?
You have to wait until, I think, the 28th. But my sister is doing all the marketing, so let me check in with the boss. I don't want to get in trouble.
I know the multi-million-dollar effort here that you're putting into it. All right, Muddy the Water is the novel that he just showed me, if you're not seeing this on video. All right, everybody, that is the show for tonight.